This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, this series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. We're very happy to have on the program today two distinguished guests. First, Mr. Carlton Putnam, author of the bestseller, Race and Reason, A Yankee View. And Dr. W.C. George, a biologist, professor emeritus, and formerly head of the Department of Anatomy at the University of North Carolina Medical School, who has just published a paper entitled The Biology of the Race Problem. Gentlemen, delighted to have both of you with us today.
Thank you so much.
I'd like Mr. Putnam to start off the questioning with you, if I might, and ask you to discuss Dr. George's new publication. And in terms of the significance, you have written a bestseller on the subject of race. What new light does Dr. George's paper shed on this?
Well, I feel that the biology of the race problem is now far more important than my book in this field. It does document, to a large extent, many of the things I've said, and for that, Dr. George, I'm very grateful to you. I would like to persuade the listeners on this program, every one of them who is interested in the subject, to read this book, This Biology of the Race Problem. It is a concise summary of the scientific aspects of the subject, and I'm hopeful that it will become the basis for a program of reconsideration of the evidence in this matter, to the extent that it will become a foundation for a new case before the Supreme Court, because the case that was decided in 1954 was based upon slanted evidence and incomplete evidence. This straightens the old evidence out, and it supplies the new evidence that is required, I believe, for a reversal of the 1954 decision. Now, you spoke of my asking Dr. George questions. I don't know whether I should, I feel so strongly about his book that I could talk about it for the full period. Dr. George, I think that you perhaps should give us a little of your own background on this subject, why you came to write this biology, and how you feel it's being received.
Well, yes, I should like to do that. I've spent most of my life studying the nature of organisms. Man, of course, is an organism. It's been my disposition to stay out of public affairs. But as this pressure of the race question was developed many years ago, I expected people of our point of view to speak about the matter, but in years passed and they did not. And so it seemed to me necessary to do something about it myself. I published two or three things, explored the scientific background, and wrote some articles. One thing led to another. Ultimately, Governor Patterson of Alabama sent a representative to see me and asked if I would cooperate with them in exploring the scientific aspect of the race problem. It was out of that request that this booklet has grown.
Now, Dr. George, I noticed that you cite a large number of authorities in your booklet. How many of these are Southerners, and how many are from other parts of the nation or from other nations in the world, for that matter?
Well, I really haven't examined that. Some of them are people who are resident or working in the South. Many of them are not residents of the South. I was merely interested in presenting the evidence as it has been brought out by the most competent scientists that we have in the world, and I had no real consideration or regard for their geographical location.
I might say, Dick, that I did make a check on that as closely as I could from the material provided in the foreword or the preliminary statement there, and I found that about 90% of these scientists were from parts of the country or the world other than our South. I'm very much impressed with the need today to counter the incredible misrepresentations of certain organizations. I will be ready to name them, the American Anthropological Association and the American Association of Physical Anthropologists, both of whom have passed resolutions attacking your point of view. Would you care to comment upon those two associations?
Well, I have no doubt that those two associations were originally thoroughly scholarly associations devoted to the promotion of scholarship. But in our modern times, this race question and the related sociological outlook has become so dominant and has caused so many minds to be biased that they have captured, that the equalitarians have captured these associations as they have captured so many other institutions in our country and are making them serve their purposes.
Now, Dr. George, during your career as an educator, you have seen these professional societies develop points of view on various subjects. You mentioned that you had written several papers on the subject of race before coming out with this booklet, The Biology of the Race Problem. Did you find any of the professional journals predisposed to publish your papers, or did they seem to have closed minds on the subject?
Well, I think most publishing houses have closed minds on the subject, and many of the very good journals. Science, for example, has published a number of letters attacking Garrett and Carlton Putnam and myself, but they are reluctant to publish our response.
I might say that Howard K. Smith made a statement on a Coast to Coast network the other night to the effect that every effort to find inherent inequality between the white and Negro races has failed. Now, the truth of the matter is that every effort to find equality between the two races has failed. I would like to call attention to two parts of this, or three parts of this book, because I feel that Dr. George is somewhat modest about telling us the importance of this document. I think that in section four, he sets out very clearly the distinctions, the physical differences between the white and Negro brain, the differences in the salsification, which involves the development, the evolutionary development of the brain, the forebrain, which is that part of the brain most important to advanced forms of our advanced forms of civilization, the histology, the thickness of the supragranular layer, which also concerns the evolutionary status of the two races. In both of which cases, we find the Negro retarded in relation to the white. And in section seven, we have Dr. Kuhn's evidence, which presents what appears to be a lag of about 200,000 years between the two races, so that you have a contrast there not only in morphology and histology, but also in fossil studies, all of which converge on these fundamental differences between the white and Negro races. And finally, in the last section of this book, Dr. George has set out an explanation of why we've got what I call the Boas-Lysenko axis, which has created what I also call the hallucination. I don't think any other word can be found that is better, more truthfully describes the point of view of the group who are now active in trying to persuade the American people of the equality of race than hallucination. And in this last section, section 10 of The Biology of the Race Problem, Dr. George puts forward the a discussion of Franz Boas, who was the American equivalent of the Russian Lysenko, and point by point explores the fallacies in Boaz's philosophy.
Well, I'd like to ask Dr. George this one question, if I might. Your publication, taken for its new information and the information it summarizes, what does it do to the arguments for school integration in the South, for example?
Well, I think the result of this publication, if it enters people's minds, will be to alert them to the great dangers that are inherent in the social and semi-social mixing of the children of the two races. Now, there's another matter that I would like to take this opportunity to mention. One of the ideas that has motivated me in the whole preparation of this document was the common expression that the proponents of integration have made is to the effect that there is no scientific proof of any racial difference with regard to abilities and intelligence. Now, that's a rather clever way of saying something which really doesn't isn't valid. It's difficult to prove anything in ultimate scientific sense. But there is a tremendous weight of evidence, as I have brought out in this paper, showing to me quite conclusively that there is a difference in intellect and in behavior and in structure between the two races, which brings to the point that these people are not really willing to consider the evidence, but are trying to force their opinions on people regardless of the evidence.
Dr. George, I'd like to take this opportunity to point out that persons in the audience who are interested in obtaining this publication, The Biology of the Race Problem, may have a copy by sending 50 cents to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi, and ask for the George Report. That address again, Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. I'd like to thank both of you for being with us today. Our guests have been Dr. W.C. George, Professor Emeritus at the Department of Anatomy, North Carolina Medical School, and Mr. Carlton Putnam, author of the bestseller, Race and Reason. Join us again next week at the same time for another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.